we're beginning here on the top of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph by the second set of two dots. Mipnei Shamru HaKometz Achasera Yoter Pasul. The Mishnah says, because we know that if a Kometz is missing something or has excess to it, it is Pasul. That is the reason for the fact that if you have something that's in there that's a foreign object, that is not the Kometz, like we said before in the previous Gemara and in the Mishnah, Livona, a pebble, or salt that's in there, it creates a Chaser in the Kometz. It creates a Chisaron in the Kometz. So Gemara says, my area mishum chaser v'yater. Why is the Mishnah claiming that the problem with these items being in the Kometz is a problem of a deficit or excess amount? Typically, mishum chatzitza. Isn't there a more fundamental problem? Which is now that you have a chatzitza. There's something that's separating between the hand of the individual, the Kohen, and the Kometz. Or even within the Kometz itself, it's subsumed in the Kometz, it's breaking the Kometz in half. It means that there's something that's dividing the Kometz, not allowing it to be a whole unit. So, Amar Rav Yiriyah min hatzad. It's a case where the foreign object is on the edges. Meaning that when the person takes the Kometz, at the edge of the Kometz, and we're going to spend time on this today, exactly what a Kometz looks like, or how do you take a Kometz, but assuming that it includes the three middle fingers of a person's hand, that means that the stone or the salt or the levona is found either by the area that's below the thumb, or at the area that's near the pinky. Either of those two areas is at the end of the Kometz, and it's not a chatzitza, because it's not dividing or blocking between the hand of the Kohen and the Kometz itself, or it's not separating the Kometz in any way. And that's why it's not a problem of chatzitza, but it still will be a problem of chaser. It is a deficit in the shi'ur of the Kometz. Amar le Abai l'Rava, ketzad komtzin. So he asks him a fundamental question, which is, how do you do a Kometz? Amar le kedekam seinche. The way that people normally do a Kometz. Obviously that is something that they were well aware of, or was something that made sense to answer, that they did a Kometzim at that time, and therefore he's just referencing him to something that is a common practice in their day. Rashi notes over here that Kekamse Inche, the unique factor or the unique side of that is that they use all the fingers. It's not describing how to do it, but rather, how many fingers of the hand are involved with it. And Kekamtze Inche means with chol etzbotav, all of his fingers involved in the process of the Kometz. And therefore, Eitave, is that really true? Because when we have a description of the fingers of the hand, each one of them has a name, and that name references to its purpose. Zo Zeret, the pinky is called the Zeret, and the Nafgamina is for the Choshen. The Choshen is Zeret Arko, Zeret Rachbo. So that's the measurement of the choshen, and that's its purpose. Zo kmitza. The ring finger is called the kmitza. You would think that's because it's connected to the kometz, which is what the question is over here. It sounds like the kometz ends at the ring finger. It doesn't go down to the pinky. Zo ama. The middle finger is the ama. The measurement of the ama is from one's elbow until the tip of the longest finger. So that's why it's called the ama. Zo etzba. The pointer finger is called the etzba because it's used in the avodah of the Kohen when he has to sprinkle the dam. He has to do anything with his etzba, the dam, the shemen, all those other things that he sprinkles. That's the etzba, the pointer finger. Zo gudal. The thumb is called the gudal. And the Rashi says that the nafkamina is for the behonot of the mitzorah. The mitzorah has to have the dam ha-sham and the shemen placed on his big finger, which means the thumb. But Tosafot doesn't love that explanation because he says, why do you have the word gudal used over here? You would have used the word bohen. The fact that it uses gudal is an indication that there's something about the thumb that is unique rather than just being bohen, the thumb upon which you put the items. And therefore he says, refers to the gudal that we're going to speak about in the upcoming Braita that uses the thumb to wipe away that which is in excess of the Kometz. And so that's what he says the reference is of Godo. So the question is, Zo Kmitza, the ring finger is Kmitza. Sounds like we do not involve all the fingers of the hand in the Kmitza, rather just the middle three fingers. Ella Lashvot. The answer is, all the fingers are involved in the process, not in the Kometz. Which is that the Kometz is those middle three fingers, but the thumb and the pinky are used to wipe off the excess at the top and the bottom. Hey Chiyovit, how do you do this? So Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia Amar Rav, Chufe Shlosh Etzbotav, Ad Shemegia Al Pas Yado V'Kometz. You fold over your three fingers onto the palm of your hand, vikometz, and you take it out. Tanya Namiochi, we have a similar description within the Braita. Melokum tso, in Pasuk Bed and Perak Bed, Vivial bin Aaron Kohenim, Vikamats Misham Melokum tso, Misaltao Mishamna Alkol Livonota. It says that you have to take a full komets worth. Yochom Mivurats, you would think that it was overflowing. Rashi, earlier in the Masechta, translated Mivurats as Migudash, that it was piled over. The understanding being that you don't have the possibility of your fingers touching the palm of your hand anymore, because there's such an excess of that which is in it. So Tamalomer Bikumtso, the Pasuk in Perek Vav Pasuk Chet says, Verim imenu Bikumtso, Misolat Amincha Mishamna, Vel Ve'et Kol HaLevona Asher Amincha, Viktir HaMizbeach, Ve'ach Nichoach Azkarat Al Hashem. That has to be in your komets. It has to be something where you have a full grasp upon it, not something where it's overflowing. Ibikumtso, if it's kumtso, Yechol Beroshetz Butav. Bikumtso makes it sound like it is a portion of, or a derivative of, the komets. You would think it's with the tips of the fingers. Instead of spreading the entirety of your fingers across the palm of your hand, you just put the tips of your fingers, those three middle fingers, onto the palm of your hand. Tamalomer melokumtso. It has to be a full komets. It has to be a komtso, which means that you're actually taking something that you are grasping off. It also has to be a melokumtso, a full grasp. Ha ketzad. How do you reconcile between these two requirements? Chofesh lo sheshpotav al pasido v'komets. You fold your three fingers, fully extended across the palm of your hand. They touch the palm of the hand, so again, there's no excess there, being mafsik between the fingers and the palm of the hand. V'komets, and then you take off the komets. B'machavat u'b'marcheshet. And this is where we get to that which we just said before. By machavat and marcheshet, which are a mincha afuya, they are baked menachot, and the komets is only taken off after they are already baked. You bake them, and then you do potototo pititim. You fold it over numerous times, and you make it into almost like a breadcrumby substance. So you return it almost to its form of solid after it was already baked, but it has a more solid feel to it. And therefore, when you do a komets, it's likely that there will be pieces that extend beyond the ring finger and pieces that extend beyond the pointer finger. So therefore, you are mochek bigudalo. You use your thumb to wipe it off. And that was the reference that Tosafot made before to the gudal, is that you mochek bigudalo, milamala, up above, ubetzvo ketana milamato. And then he does that with his pinky finger down below. So that's both a description of how it's done in this braita, as well as what we said before, that all the fingers are involved, even though the komets itself is only including the middle three fingers, because the upper thumb and the pinky are used to wipe off that which is above and below those three fingers. Again, it's true of any of the komatsim that you would do by a mincha, but most of the menachot, you take the komets off while it's still a solet or before it is baked, so therefore it is smaller or more granular, and you probably can get the amount you need without having to wipe it off. The other hand, when you have a machavat and marcheshet, which are mincha fuya, there it's harder to get smaller pieces that are exactly the right size, and that's what requires this wiping off of the thumb and the pinky in order to ensure that you have that right amount. And this is the hardest operation that is performed within the mikdash. Zeu v'tulo. This is the only thing that was so difficult. Va'ika malika, va'ika kafina. You have these other items that are also very difficult. Malika dof, as we discussed already in Zvachim, is extremely difficult, mostly because the malika is done in a single hand, which is that the kohen holds the bird in his right hand, and while holding the bird in his right hand, does the malika. It's not that he's holding it in one hand and doing the malika with the other hand. He does the malika while subduing the bird, holding its feet, its wings in place, wrapping its neck around, and then putting his thumb through it without causing it to be dead before he gets to the simanim, which means that he cuts through the mifareket without rova basar, and then he cuts the siman or simanim, depending if it's an olah chatat, until he gets back through and rova basar together, so that he kills the bird in the process of cutting the simanim. So it's an extremely difficult avodah. Vaika chafina. The chafina is the chafina, the fistful of ketorah that the Kohen Gadol places in the Kodesh HaKodeshim on Yom HaKippurim. The difficulty of the chafina, the Rambam references to chafina in terms of putting the chafina together. Although the harder aspect of it, which is referenced by most, is the fact that when he reaches the Kodesh HaKodeshim, and as you noted, his hands are both full. He has the pan of coals in one hand, and he has the spoon full of the chofen, his fistful worth of ketoret. He gets the Kodesh HaKodeshim, he places the pan and coals down on the ground, and then he's got to take this spoon and pull it back, returning the spoon into your palms of your hands, where you have two hands, and you need at the same time to move the spoon and dump it back into the palms of your hands, when the palms of the hands are the vehicle or the utensil for holding the chafina, and then pour it in without losing any of that ketoret. That's an extremely difficult operation. So these are all difficult operations that are performed. Elazoi achat mi'avodot hakashot shebimikdash. It's one of amongst the hardest that are performed in Mikdash. And this is your list here of the three hardest things, which is the kometz, the melika, and the chafina. So Amar Rav Papa, pshitali, it's straightforward to me, melo kumso kedekam se'inshe. The meloa kometz is the way that people do it. Now this is very difficult because we just disproved this point. The Bavli just before brought that position where Rav and Abayu were discussing it. Rav suggested it's kedekam se'inshe, and then we brought a braita that seemed to dismiss that. And so now for a papa to come back and say melo kumso kedekam se'inshe makes it sound like he's arguing on that which we saw before. Although that's difficult, because Rav Papa is a Talmud of Abaye, as well as the fact that we read a Braita that seemed to indicate otherwise. So, either you have to say that Rav Papa actually disagrees over here, and the truth is that in the Yerushalmi, the version of the Gemara has the Braita, but the Braita doesn't specify three fingers, but rather just that the fingers are on the palm of the hand. So it does not have the limitation. It's not a problem for Rova's original statement, and then it would actually accord with Rav Papa is saying over here. And therefore, the Rambam paskins actually not like our Gemara here, but rather like Rav Papa, and more like the Yerushalmi, which is that the kometz does require all of the fingers, and not just the three fingers. There's some question as to whether by a Minchat Machvat or Marcheshet, does he then require three and not all of the fingers? But that means that the Rambam is following this Shita of Rav Papa, but more likely because the Yerushalmi takes a different approach, which is against the Bavli. But Rashi over here says that what he means over here is not about the number of fingers, but rather in the method by which you do this. You can see that in Rashi, it's the third wide line, Kedekam Se'inshe, Machnis Tzidei Etzbotav. He puts in the sides of his finger, B'dochak B'kemach. He pushes into the kemach itself, kemach nichnas betoch yado, and that causes the kemach to move into the palm of his hand. So you insert your hand while it is, we call it vertical, and you go down with the side of your hand, the pinky side of your hand, into the kemach, and then you slowly turn it and then close your fingers on it. That's how you do the kometz. So Rashi indicates over here that the kometz is done by the three fingers, and Rav Papa is not disagreeing with that. He's now just saying the Kam Se'inshe is the method by which you take the kometz into the palm of your hand. That is the way that people normally do that, which is by placing the side of your hand, depressing it into the kemach and turning it and closing your fingers onto your palm. That is the mechanism by which you do this. By Rav Papa, kamatz biroshe etzbotav mai. He does a kometz by using the tips of his fingers. Is that a good kometz? So Rashi describes over here, Shechnis Roshei Etzbotav Bakemach. He stuck the tips of his fingers into the Kemach. Upas Yado Klape Akemach. And the palm of his hand is facing the flower. Vekometz Melo Kumtso Ad Pas Yado. Then he pulls the flower towards his palm of his hand. Is that okay? Meaning that he comes with his palm flat down onto the flower, and then he pulls with his fingers into the palm of his hand. So this is distinct from the Rosh Hashanah that we saw before, which was just putting the tips of the fingers into the palm. Here, it's a method by which you're extracting the mincha into the hand or the palm of the individual. Minat stadim, mai, if you do it from the sides, what is the din? Rashi says over here, minat stadim is shenatan gav yado al kemach. He puts the back of his hand on the kemach, and he moves his hand back and forth until either it submerges into the kemach or until kemach spills over into the palm of his hand. Rashi brings the second possibility is minat stadim mitzidei kli. He doesn't do the kometz in the middle of the kli, he does it from the edge of the kli. So that's another possibility as to what the question is. Mimata lemalo, mai. What happens if he does it from down and then upwards? Rashi over here describes that as being shechnis etzba utav bakemach. He put his fingers into the kemach. The gavayad keneged hakemach, and the back of his hand is towards the kemach v'komeitz. So it's the opposite of what we saw before. Beroshetz butav. Roshetz butav. You have the palm of your hand flat towards the kemach, and you're pulling with your fingers. Over here, you have the other way around. You have gavayad. You have the back of the hand that is towards the kemach, and he's pulling with his fingers into his hand. That's the way that Rashi describes it over here. The Balei HaTosafot, even though seemingly they do have a similar interpretation in other places of the Mata Lamala, over here they say that the Mata Lamala is different when it comes to fingers, or something that is like fingers that can be pushed upright or downwards, because you can change the direction of the fingers. When you have the Mata Lamala, it's always a question in the Gemara. For instance, we'll get to this later on in Menachot with Tzitzit. But Tzitzit, it uses the term Lamata and Lamala. So the question is, does Lamata mean that which is closest to the ground, and Lamala means that which is higher up? Or is Lamala that which is further away from the Beged, and Lamata is that which is closer to the Beged? Obviously, that gives you opposite results, but that's because the Tzitzit are stationary. What Balei HaTosafot point out is that by fingers, where you could turn them up and down, you're not going to call the Mata and Lamala the distance from the palm of the hand necessarily. You're actually going to look at them from their physical direction rather than their distance from the palm of the hand. And so as opposed to the Tzitzit, where they would have described it as being Lamata means closest to the Beged, Lamala means furthest away from the Beged, you would not say the same thing with regards to the fingers and say Mimata means closer to the palm, Milamala means further away from the palm. But rather, you would take that literally. Mimata Lamalo means that you're going from down to upward in a direction. And therefore, the Balei HaTosafot say over here that it's a case where he submerged the palm of his hand into the solet until the roshei etzbutav, the tips of his fingers, also go into the solet, and then he's komets. So as opposed to Rashi, who says that the direction of the hand here is changed from roshei etzbutav before, Tosafot says here, it's the same thing. You put the palm of the hand into the solet itself, but here, instead of moving the solet with the roshei etzba'utav, you are instead bringing the solet by causing pressure and pressing down with the hand, you bring the solet into your fingers. So you press with the palm of your hand until it reaches the point of roshei etzba'utav. That's how the Balei HaTosafot describe it, again, having the hand in the opposite direction as to Rashi. So in all of these cases, does that work for a komets? The Gemara leaves that as teku, as unresolved. Amar Rav Papa. So Rav Papa does a similar thing with regards to Meloch Hufnav, which is the handful or fistful of ketoret for Yom HaKippurim, where shitali, Meloch Hufnav, when you speak about Meloch Hufnav, is kitachafne inche. That's the way that people normally do it. So once again, you have to say here that they knew what that was. It was done on a regular basis. Rashi over here explains it. You put in the sides of your hands, you depress them, and you bring them together, and then you bring a pile full of ketoret out by putting the two hands together. And again, the doing of the chafina, which the Rambam described as being difficult, Rashi and others describe as not being the actual taking of the chofen, but later on, once you put it into a spoon, returning the spoon into your palms of your hands, where you have two hands, and you need at the same time to move the spoon, and dump it back into the palms of your hands, when the palms of the hands are the vehicle or the utensil for holding the chafina. And that's what's so difficult about that avodah. By Rav Papa, so Rav Papa again asks the same questions. Chafan beroshetz botav. Mau, if you do the chofen with the tips of your fingers, again, by using the fingers to pull the toret into the hand of the individual. Minat stadim, if you do it from the sides. Again, either yichnis ketoret b'chufnav derech ben godol de etzba, Rashi brings one possibility, is you do it by having the ketoret come between the thumb and the pointer finger, and you get the ketoret into your hand that way. Or, l'shna achrino is similar to what he said before, it means from tzidei akli, from the side of the utensil, mahu. Hachofan b'zo u'b'zo, v'korvan zo etzul zo mahu. If you do each fistful separately, and then you bring them together, what is the din, rather than bringing them up in one unit together? What's the din there? The Gemara again says, teiku, leaves that as an unresolved issue. Baira papa, dafke de komets, bidafne de mono. if you stick the kometz onto the wall of the kli internally, my, is that mikadesh the kometz in the kli? Toch kli beinan veika, you need to have it internal to the kli sharet in order for it to be mikadeshit, and you have that. Or maybe you need to place it into the kli, and that's not the normal way to place it into a kli. Veleka, and that's lacking over here. Teku, that we leave again as unresolved. Bayimar Ravashi, havchena mana, vidavkua the kometz ba'arita de mana. They flip the kli over, and then you stick the kometz into the base of the kli. What is the din? So now Rashi describes that over here as being that the utensil has a stand to it, which is that there's a bait kibul at the bottom. Like you have many colanders or other things that you have an upper receptacle into which you place the items that the kli is made for. But it also has a base that has a receptacle in it, which is, of course, reversed from the kli upon which it sits. So if you flip the kli over, then the receptacle of the kli is now facing down as the base, and the base is now upright as the receptacle. So if you place it into that receptacle, that's the nature of the question according to Rashi, as to whether that is mikadesh. The item, is that considered to be a beit kibul that has the status of a kli sharet? The other possibility is if you flip the kli over and you leave it upside down, not that you put it in the base of the kli, but you put it in the receptacle of the kli, but you just stick it in while it's upside down. So you place the kometz while the kli is upside down, you basically press it into the base of the kli in order to have it be mekadeshit. What's the din there? Or the last possibility we saw in the Balei Tosafot in Zvachim, that he describes havchei as not being that you flipped it over, but that you reversed it. You heated up the kli, and now you made the inside the outside, and the outside the inside. You've heated it to the point that it's soft, and you can turn it inside out. Does that work? So those are all different possibilities as to what the question over here is. So in all of those questions, my, what's the din? Anacha b'tocho b'inan ve'ika. You need to place it in the utensil, and you've done that. Odilma k'tikuno b'inan. You have to do it in a normal way, or in a normal fashion. Normal fashion is to place it in the regular receptacle of the kli. Normal fashion is to have the kli upright. The normal fashion is to use the kli the way it was made, rather than inverting it. Veleka, that's lacking in these cases, and maybe it's not good. Teku, again, we leave that as an unresolved issue. Okay, ketzad huose. How do you do this kometz? So this is a more generic statement about the kometz, that you place the fingers across the palm of your hand. Again, we had the Braita that gave us more detail about that. Riba shamna, chaser shamna. If you have too much oil, or too little oil, chiser levonota, or you have too little levona, psula. The mincha is pasul, and the kometz that you take off is not any good. Now, riba shamna and chaser shamna, is because there's a requirement of log shaman. For a mincha, there is a ratio of an isaron solet to a log shaman, and the truth is, by the mincha itself, the solet also has a requirement of isaron, and riba and chaser would be problematic by the solet as well. But here we're talking about the shaman, and if you have excess shaman, or too little shaman, it's problematic. Livona, as we're going to see later on in the Masechta, on Daf Kufav, almost towards the way end of the Masechta, that the requirement for the size of the levona is a kometz. It's similar to the size of the kometz that you take off of the mincha itself. That amount of levona is what needs to be placed on the mincha, and then mukrav on the gabei mizbeach. So the Mishnah only notes that chiser, if there was a deficit, it's a problem. The Gemara will discuss what happens if there is excess levona. So hechi dami riba shamna. What exactly is the scenario where you have too much oil? So Amar Rabbi Elazar, Kigon, Shehifrish la Shnei Lugin. Instead of using one log of oil, you use two log of oil. So over here you have a Machloket Rashi and the Rambam. How to explain this? And it has Nafkaminot Alocha. Rashi says, Rabbi Elazar's statement is coming to say that if you are Mafrish two log, that means that it would be problematic. But had you been Mafrish a log and a half, it would have been fine. So that Rabbi Elazar is saying that the problem starts from two log, and something that's below that status of two log would be problematic, and that's because a log is the measurement of the oil that is belonging in this mincha, and so if you double it, then that would be problematic, but if you did less than that, it would not be problematic. The reason being, velukma, why do you have to say that he doubles the quantity of oil that's being placed in here? Why don't you just say that he put in excess oil of chulin? He just added too much oil. or he brought oil from a different mincha, and he placed it in here. Why isn't that the problem? Because the implications from before were that if you were hifrish ba shnei lugin, if you took off two lugin, it would be problematic. But according to Rashi, that means that a log and a half, which means that you did a log which was kadosh, and a half a log that was chulin, that would not be problematic. And that's to what the Gemara is asking over here. Why isn't chulin and shemen chaverta a problem? Maybe you're telling me now that shemen of chulin and shemen of its chaverta is not pasul. If that's the case, minchat chote, the pasul ba shemen, hechemishkachala. How do you have ever a case where you have a minchat chote that has oil that's added to it that makes it pasul? Remember, a minchat chote is a minchat chareva. There's no oil, no livona that goes on it. Now, if you place shemen on it, it is pasul. So now that you have shemen on it and it's pasul, what type of shemen is making it pasul? Edida, if you're talking about its own shemen, halaitla, there is no such scenario because it doesn't have oil that's associated with it. So you can't have the scenario of Rabbi Elazar where you doubled the quantity of oil because double of zero is zero. There is no oil that belongs on it. So therefore, by definition, all oil that goes on here is oil of chulin. Idu chulin with chaverta. And if you tell me chulin or oil from another mincha, hamart lo pasal, you're telling me those aren't pasul, then there'll never be a scenario where a minchat chareva or minchat chote would be pasul when it has shemen in it. So the Gemara says that is not the right way to understand in Rabbi Elazar, but rather Rabbi Elazar lo mi bayi kamar. Elazar is saying not only this. Lo mi bayi, I don't have to tell you to chulin v'techaverta de pasul. I don't have to tell you that when it comes to chulin or chaverta, that it's definitely pasul. Aval ifrish l'shnei lugin, but if you took off two lugin, hoil v'hai chazile, v'hai chazile, each one independently is ra'uy to be the log shaman for this mincha, ema lo l'ifso. Maybe you would say it shouldn't be pasul, k'mash malan, that it is pasul. So that's the way that Rashi reads it over here. In the end, everything is pasul. That means that anything that comes from chulin, anything that is from another mincha, so that means any amount is pasul. And even if you duplicate or double the amount of oil that normally goes in here, it is still pasul, even though maybe you would have thought that it should have relevance to this mincha. Nevertheless, it is poselet when you put it in. And the Baal Tosafot, in dealing with another issue on the second half of today's daf, try to come up with the scenario or understanding of how it is that you are mekadesh two log shaman. Because, by definition, once you're mekadesh one of them, the other one is not needed or can't be a part of the mincha. So how do you come up with a scenario by which you come up with two log shaman that are both kadosh for the mincha and not chulin? So Tosafot says it's a case where you have two log shaman and you say one of these two is kadosh. And since both of them have that potential, and you've never been mevarer which one it is, they both might have that status of Kedusha, and that's the scenario that we're speaking about here. Manale, the Rabbi Elazar, ha? Where did Rabbi Elazar get this from? Amarava matnitan kashite. The language of the Mishnah bothered him. Mayiri adetani riba shamna. Why does it say that you have excess of its oil? Litne riba la shemen. Why did you say there was too much oil? Why is it in the possessive form of shamna? Kamash malan. Meaning that even if riba shamna, you had excess of its oil, the mincha itself's oil, then it would still be pasul. And that's where Rabbi Elazar derives his position from. Now, just to go back, as I said before, the Rambam learns differently. And he says that what Rabbi Elazar is saying is that kigon shifrish l'shnei lugim means from two log and greater is pasul. And that he remains with the maskana, the Rambam, that the Gemara doesn't change that. He just says that anything from two log and above is pasul, but that means anything below two log is kasher. Unlike Rashi who says that a log vechetzi would be pasul, the Rambam says that a log vechetzi would be kasher, because it is not double of the amount that you normally put in there. And therefore, if you have excess shemen up to two times the amount that's supposed to be there, it still would be kasher. Once you hit the threshold of two, then it is not kasher, and that's why the Rambam paskens halacha based on the conclusion of the Gemara. Alright, chiser levonata, tarabanan, chasera vamdal koret echad. If the levona was diminished to the point where it only has one grain or granule of frankincense, psula, a shnei kartin, if it has two grains left, kshera, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Omer, al koret echad kshera, if you have one grain left, it's kshera, pachot mikain, mikan, anything less than that is psula. So now, obviously, this seems to be at odds with what we just said before, that a deficit in the Levona is problematic. V'hatanya, don't we have a Braita? And Rashi says over here that, kimidumali, it seems to me that this Braita was authored by Rabbi Shimon or involves Rabbi Shimon. You can see here, there was even a girsa that had Rabbi Shimon in it. Komets, v'levona, shechaser koshul. If you have a komets or the levona, if they're missing any amount from it, pasul. So then, that sounds like, even if you don't have the full amount of levona, you'd be problematic. And that's a stira in Rabbi Shimon, where it says, tnei koret levona, shechaser koshul. Not levona, but rather a koret levona. If you have less than a grain's worth of frankincense, then that is problematic. V'baitema, the other possible solution is, kam levona ba'a imimincha, kam levona ba'a bifnei atzma. Depends if you're talking about levona that comes along with the mincha, which is the komets of levona that comes with the mincha, or you're talking about a standalone donation of frankincense of levona to the mikdash, which also has a requirement of a komets. There's a demand that it be whole. There, that is the entirety of the donation, and it must be whole. When it's part of the mincha, as long as you have some sort of residual that is left over, then that is sufficient in terms of the view of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. You can have a small amount left, and that would be fine. Whereas in the case where you're donating levona by itself, standalone, it's got to have the full amount. So I'm Rabbi Yitzchak by Yosef, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Gimel Machloket, there are three different opinions here. Rabbi Meir Savar, Komets Batchila, the Komets Basof. Rabbi Meir says you have to have a Komets at the beginning of the process, and a Komets at the end of the process. Rashi claims that that's a diok out of our Mishnah. He says Rastam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. And our Mishnah says, chaser, the levona, then it's problematic. The truth is, it's not mukhrach from our Mishnah, because you could even explain the Mishnah according to Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. It doesn't tell you what the base level is that is considered to be chaser, and therefore you could explain all of them. So it's not mukhrach what Rashi says, that because that Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, that is the source for Rabbi Meir's position. But rather, you have to explain that they had a mesora, that was the position of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Komets bitchila, you have to start out with the komets, ushnei kratim basof, when you have to have two grains in the end. Rishim and Savar, komets bitchila, you have to start out with the komets worth, bekoret echad basof, and you need just one little grain at the end. Ushloshta mikra echad darshu, and they all darsh in the same pasuk. Ve'et kol halivona asher ala mincha. And the question is, how do darshin kol halivona? Rimir Savar adita lalivona, kol halivona means literally, all of the livona. The levona means everything, and kol levona means the entirety of the levona. Anything missing is problematic. De'ikva v'hadei mincha, that which was brought together with the mincha originally, mi'ikara, that's which is there all along. So the levona is the levona that you're supposed to bring with the mincha. Yehuda Savar, kol, the kol means afilu chad koret, means even one little grain. That is, as Rashi notes over here, he darshens the word kol, not to mean all, but rather kol dehu, that it means any amount, and he brings an example from the pasuk, by the Amana, who begs Elisha for help, and he says to her, do you have anything in the house? And she says, ain't kol, I have nothing there. So it means ain't kol du, it means not even a small amount, I have nothing there. So kol can be used to mean kol du, and that's what he's saying here. Livona would have meant the entire amount. Kol means only a portion, a kol du of that livona. But it says et, the rabot koret acher. The word et is a riboy to include another grain's worth. Rabbi Shimon et lo darish. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon's not darish. The word et is a riboy. Over here, you have the flipping of their positions, because many times Rabbi Shimon is darish et, and Rabbi Yehuda is not. The Baal Tosfot here, and many places in Shas, point out that these are not definitive positions of the Tanaim. In some circumstances, they do darshan it, because they think it's excessive or extraneous. Sometimes they don't darshan it. It's not telling you that they have a principled position that Rabbi Shimon says, I never am darish et, and Rabbi Yehuda says, I'm always Dorish Et. That's not the case. In this particular instance, that is true. Now, as turned to what it means, Bitchila and Basof, that is actually a machloket amongst the Rishonim. Rashi says over here, Bitchila means at the time of the Kemitza, which is what's Koveya the Mincha, according to Rabbi Yochanan. That was the machloket of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish before. And Basof here means at the Shat Haktara. That's what you need to have left over. Although the Rambam, on the other hand, says that Tchila is lechatchila, is what you should be bringing. Basof means bidiavad. If you only brought this amount, then it's okay. The other possibility is that mitchila means at the time of hafrasha, at the time that you're actually being mafrish the levona, and then basof means in the end, when you get to whatever point it is along the way that is substantial, then you don't need that full amount. So that would be tchila means hafrasha, and then the sof means some period of time later on where there's something significant happening. At that point, you don't need to have that full amount. All right, just to note, the achronim argue about the position of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda with regards to whether if you have a full amount of livona on the mincha, and then you're going to put it on the pyre along with the komets, do you have to put the entirety of the livona on there to make it into a kosher mincha and to allow the residual to be eaten? Or is it enough that you put on one koret or two koretin, that one grain or two grains worth? Meaning that is Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda's opinion only true when you've lost the livona, then it's still okay, but you have to be makriv on the mizbeach all of the livona that you have currently? Or is it that even if you have a full amount of livona, all you have to get onto the mizbeach is this small amount, even though if you have the full amount of livona here? So that's a machloket amongst the achronim, how to explain that view of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. All right, now, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, machloket bilivona bai mimincha. That this machloket only exists with livona that comes along with the mincha, but livona ba'a bifnei atzma, if you have standalone livona, divrei kol komets mitechila v'komets mivisof. You have to have it both in the beginning and the end, and again, all those explanations we gave before would exist here, but this also accords with what we said before in the Gemara, that you could distinguish in Rabbi Shimon's position between a livona that comes with the mincha, where you can have it diminish and be okay, versus the case where it's standalone, where you cannot have it diminish. That's why the pasuk says that which goes with the mincha. Dibadi mincha in bifnei atzmalo. Only when it's accompanying a mincha do you have the dispensation of kol alivona. But when it doesn't come with a mincha, you don't have that dispensation. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Machloket bilivona ba'a mimincha. The machloket is only with livona that comes with mincha. Aval bilivona ba'a bebezichim. Livona that comes with the lechem apanim and the bezichim. You have to have two kmatzim, one komets for each of the bazichim, because the bazichim are called azkara, and a komets is called azkarata. And so Gemara learns from that each one of the bazichim contains a komets worth. So Gemara says, pshita, why would you have thought otherwise? Because we don't have a pasuk that gives you a dispensation by the bazichim and the lechem apanim. You have that by a mincha, you don't have it over here. So ma'od teima came into badi lechem at your... Since the bazichim are connected to the lechem, like the komets and the livona are connected to a mincha, so then la'imatya kasher al mincha damya. It's equivalent of being brought along with the mincha. K'mashvalan, that we don't say that, and there is a requirement that the livona be whole in the bazichim from beginning to end. Pligi ba Rabbi Ami v'Rabbi Yitzchak nafcha chamamar machlok b'livona ba'ayim ha'mincha v'livona ba'ayim b'fnei atzma divrei akol komets mitchila v'komets basof. That has to be a komets pearls worth in the beginning and end. That's what we saw until now. There is a opinion that disagrees and says, just like there's a machloket about what the residual is by a mincha of livona to make it kosher, that same din applies to livona by itself or standalone, and that there is no such distinction between ala mincha versus livona. Livona is livona. Doesn't matter whether it's together with a mincha or not together with a mincha. Chiser levonotah psula. So now the Gemara says, Hayatir ksheira. The implications of the Mishnah are only if there's a deficit of levona is it a problem, but if you have excess levona, it's okay. Vatanya, don't we have a brayta yatir psula? If you have excess, it's problematic. Amarami barchama kagon shehifrish la shnei kematzin. It's a case where he took out two komets worth of levona. So again, similar to what we had with the shemen before. Amarami barchama hifrish la shnei kematzin. Vachad mehen. Kodem kmitza. If you take out two kmatzim worth of livona for the mincha, and one of them was lost before the kmitza took place, lo hukvu, then they both were not designated for the mincha, and it's not a problem. Achar kmitza, hukvu, if it happened after kmitza that you lost one of them, they were already designated for the mincha, and it makes the mincha psula because of the excess. Rashi over here says the reason that there is a psul when you put in shnei kmatzim worth of levona is because yoter midai riba. You put excessive amount. It's too much that you put in, implying that if it was less than two times the amount, it would be fine. That's very similar to Rashi's havamina in Rabbi Lazar before, where he says if you have double log shaman, that would be problematic, but below that number would not be problematic. And that was actually the conclusion of the Rambam over there. And now Rashi seems to be following basically what the Rambam says is the conclusion of the previous Gemara. not what he said was the conclusion of the previous Gemara. But you could be mechalek between shemen and levona, and that is because shemen has an exact measurement of a log. And therefore, when you have any excess amount above that, it's problematic. A kometz, by definition, is subjective, because it's dependent on the size of every individual. And therefore, only once you've reached a point where it's two times the amount of the kometz does it become problematic. Slight variations above, and maybe even below, are not going to be problematic because of the fact that it is a subjective measurement. And in that way, maybe Rashi over here says you need to get to that threshold before it's pasul, even though by shemen, any excess amount is problematic. Just to know, Rashi does bring an alternate view as to how to read this Gemara, and it's just the opposite. He says, I didn't hear this, but there is a possibility that you could explain here that when it has double the amount, it actually is kasher. And that is because each one of them is roi lahtara, and given that, each one of them is kasher. Then, if they were already hukvu'u, and you lose one of them, it's going to be psula problematic. On the other hand, if they were not hukvu'u, and one of them got lost, it would not be problematic, because they have yet to be hukvu'u, along with the mincha. And this is where Tosafot makes this comment about how do you have a situation in which you're mafrish two things, where there's a fixed amount that is kadosh for the item, and yet we're saying both of them are kadoshim. We brought this earlier with regards to Rabbi Lazar and the two log of Shemen. And over here, he explains, here is the primary place where Tosafot gives that explanation, and we applied it before to the case of Shemen as well. And similarly, by the bazichim and lechem panim, if you take out double the amount or quantity that you need, and you lose two of them, kodem siluk bazichim, if that happens before you remove the bazichim from the shulchan, lohukvu, they were never designated for the lechem panim, and therefore they're not considered to be excess, and it's not a problem. Lachar siluk bazichim, if they only got lost after the siluk bazichim, hukvu, then they were connected to the lechem apanim, and you have excess livona, and it's problematic. Ha'atul amali. Why do I need the case by the lechem apanim after you told me by mincha? It's basically telling you the same exact din. Meaning the kometz is koveya, and the hasarat abazichim from the shulchan, taking him off the shulchan, is koveya. That we know already. That parallel we've seen before. Hainuach, it's the exact same thing. No ma'udetei makeven de barir kometz dida'a. Since its kometz is well defined, teimen she'egez manala forka. As soon as the time comes when you're allowed to or should be taking the bazichim off the shulchan, come on, the prikodamya, it's as if you did take it off the shulchan. And the truth is, we had that opinion early on. Rabbi Elozar had that opinion that when comes the time to take it off, and you haven't taken off yet, and the lechem goes pasul, that's the equivalent of the lechem going chaser post the kometz. So we do have an opinion like that in Rabbi Elozar. So either you have to say this Gemara is against that view of Rabbi Elazar, it disagrees with Rabbi Elazar, or you have to say that we're dealing with a different issue over here. It depends on the perspective or the circumstance. Over there, you're saying that you want to keep the thing kasher, so that you have it as if the kometz was taken off, so that the chisaron of the lechem takes place after the kometz was taken off. Over here, you are losing the kometz, or the hasarat bazichim, to be koveya, that which is there. We want to delay that as much as possible, and therefore we're not going to say as if it was taken off. So in each case, you're going to look at it to the, I guess, benefit of the situation. And it also might relate to the difference in the item itself. Over here, you have livona, which is the item itself that you're speaking about, and the item you're saying is psula, and as if taken off. This is over there, we're speaking about the lechem, which is, as long as it's whole, is kasher, and a residual from the bazichim that are taken off. And so maybe the din's different there, but less than it is over here. Okay, we're going to stop here by the Mishnah on the bottom of Yud Aleph Omid Bet.